The person with iman, who is a mu'min, the mu'min, the sign of iman, of being a mu'min, is that the mu'min has worry and concern on one thing continuously, and that is with regards to having a good end to life. A person who doesn't worry or is not concerned about having a good end to life, who doesn't think about this, then there is weakness in that person's iman. That when we think about iman and pure iman and good iman, strong iman, the person with iman should always be thinking that I will depart this world one day and I will die one day, and I need to die in a nice way, in a way that I am a good person. It's very important, because we have been sent to this world and we will be transferred to the hereafter after we pass away from this world. And it is destined for all of us that we will transfer from here to the next world. And this is a very big phase, a transitional phase, in the same thinking, with the same knowledge and concern, in the same situation and condition. We have to leave this world. One day we have to depart this dunya. It's a fact. We are not here forever. And when we go to the next world, to the hereafter, when a person, for example, in this world travels from A to B, he puts his luggage together, his belongings together, he takes things with him or she takes with her, wherever that person's going, what they need to live their life. So when a person goes from here to the hereafter, everything is left behind. Our clothes are taken off before the janazah, the watch is taken off, luggage stays behind, goods stay behind, relatives are left behind. And for this, it's not that a person has to prepare knowledge-wise for the hereafter. Rather, suddenly, just suddenly, Allah Ta'ala's order comes that this individual bring him to me. His life, that person may be in the marketplace, in the shopping center, in a shop, he may be driving, or she could be anywhere in any condition. And the person's position at that time will not change. Alhamdulillah, ajib deaths we have seen, and you will have heard in your own ears, some people who die in a good way. Somebody's passing away whilst prostrating. Somebody's passing away whilst reciting Quran, tilawa. Somebody's entering into haram, the masjid, and they're passing away near the door. Somebody's doing tawaf around the Kaaba and they're passing away. Somebody's just reached to Masjid al-Nabawi and he's passed away. Somebody's going in Ramadan, and in Ramadan in Masjid al-Nabawi, or somebody's going into Jannatul Baqi, the graveyard. So all of these are examples of husne khatima, good ending to life, a good death. So if a person doesn't have worry about preparing to die nicely as a good person, and he doesn't think this in his mind, it's not in his thoughts ever, then we should understand that that person is in danger, grave danger. There's a very big danger indeed that the dunya, love of dunya, has overwhelmed that person. Because if a person doesn't remember his death, prepare for his death, that I need to depart this world as a good person with good deeds, then how will that person prepare for transition to the hereafter? This is logic conclusion, isn't it? Logical conclusion. If you know that tomorrow you are to travel to, say, India, and after a week you have to travel to India, then that man, in his mind, there's a burden. Always that I have to travel, I need to pack my clothes. If you're speaking to someone, oh, I need to go and pick up my ticket. Or if you meet somebody, salam alaikum, oh, I just need to go and pick up my ticket. And the other person B, who he's talking to, has no link with this person A's ticket, but he'll mention this, definitely throw in this phrase, because it's in his mind. It's rotating in his mind. If I meet you, I say, how are you, fine? Oh, I need to go to the airport soon. But what link do I have with you going to the airport? I have no relationship with that fact. But what is this? When a person's mind or consciousness is overwhelmed with a certain fikr or worry, a concern, that travel that's about to come, that journey a week after, and when he's talking to someone a week before and he doesn't even have any link with his journey, he says, oh, I have to go somewhere, I'm going to be going soon. Have you ever thought, when you were thinking together, that when we speak, should happen, isn't it? When I speak, oh, I've prepared for death, I'm going to die one day, and inshallah I will die as a good person. Have we ever spoke to each other like this? So this is the reflection of Iman, the status of a mu'min, of a person who worries about Iman, that he has most fikr and worry about maut, death. When a person doesn't have worry for maut, for death, then that person's free to do what he or she wants, and the person wanders around, roams around free in the world, and then death comes suddenly, maut, and the person's not prepared for the akhirah. So to have a good ending to the life, husni khatama, that time when a person passes away, when he's, so husni khatama are those moments when a person leaves this dunya, leaves this world. Now what's husni khatama? Husni khatama, because this is what we really need to be concerned about, that just before death, when my death is there, when Allah Ta'ala calls me, when I'm sat on the plane, I should have a seat and I should have a ticket. I should be worried about this. The journey comes after, isn't it? You need to purchase the ticket and the airline seat. So qabr will come after. You'll be lowered into the grave after. Maut, the questions will come after. Ma husni khatama, what will be my condition before I die? This is what is important. This is what we need to think about. This is important that we need to consider. So we should do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us many du'as with regards to Allahumma inni nasaluka husni khatama. If a person says this in his heart, that Allah, my ending, make it ahsan, make it good. It looks very easy that we'll go, I'm praying salah and I'll depart as a Muslim because I pray salah. Or I keep the fast in Ramadan and I'll have strong iman when I leave. Or I do dhikr regularly, I will depart as a mu'min when I pass away. We all think we're guaranteed. I give zakat, I give sadaqah, I do umrah, I do hajj, I'll leave as a Muslim. But husni khatama, the good ending to life, this situation is unique. I remember this hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that innamal amalu bi khwati. This is a big hadith, or important hadith rather. And this is with regards to the ending, the good ending to life. That person, if you're speaking about the ending to the life when a person passes away, then remember one point, that the basis of a good end to the life is all hinging on one, that last action when a person is passing away. Subhanallah. So what amal is that person carrying out? If at that time a person's practicing correct amal, then consider he or she will leave this world successful. If that person's deeds at the time of the end of life is not good, then that person's departing the world not in a good way. So this is not said that all your life you have to do good deeds and then your husni khatma will be based on this. Or if you read Quran regularly, you'll have good husni khatma, or etc. No. At that time, the amal that will be implemented, the deed at the time of death, the action when maut will come and will take you away, the life will be taken away, that last amal, the final amal, then that will prove conclusively that has this person had a good ending to his life. Husni khatama. So a big warning, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us warning, or he's given us advance notice, that don't just think that today the amal that you are doing, that tomorrow definitely you will utter those statements from your tongue when you're dying, because it will be a difficult test at the time of death. Difficult test, questions will be asked about our iman at the time of death. It's not necessary the kalamats will come from our tongue at that time. So there was a certain event there, it's been recorded historically, that somebody was passing away, dying, and people were telling him, recite the kalima, recite the affirmation of shahada, recite Surah Yasin. And what was he saying in response? He was saying, give me to drink and you drink also. You give me to drink and you drink also. He was saying this repeatedly while he was dying. This is a true event. Driven, because all his life the poor soul used to consume a lot of alcohol. He was used to it. So at that time, that amal overwhelmed him. He said, give me to drink and you also drink. And whilst he was saying this, he passed away. So me and you, ourselves, what guarantee do we have that today we're doing dhikr, that will this dhikr that we're doing now, will we be able to utter this from our tongues when we pass away? These kalamats that we are reciting, La ilaha illallah, will this come on the tip of our tongues at the time of maut? There will be big restrictions, hurdles. There will be obstacles in our path when we are passing away. to take away iman. There'll be little things that we do today, and we don't know how these diminish our iman. Husni khatam might be a long way away. There'll be deeds that we carried out in our lives. We'll have forgotten what did we do. Whilst we live, we forget the sins we've implemented. We've oppressed other people. We've done bad to other people. We've taken people's wealth or somebody's heart we've broken during our life. At that time, whilst we are our iman was weak in the world. But when we're passing away dying, then those sins will come and overwhelm us at that time. They will overwhelm us, affect us at that time when we're dying. That deed that came from our bodies, or that statement that was uttered by the tongue, this changes the direction of a human being. Remember this, one deed, one statement can destroy a person's hereafter. And one physical deed carried out by the hands or the body or the limbs can destroy a person at the time of death and the akhirah. So we need to be very cautious in our lives, very careful, because this is a journey where we are walking on nettles, on thorns, pins, needles, and we think we've done a good action, we've worshipped Allah, and I'm pious, and I'm the best person. This is incorrect. A mu'min is never satisfied during his or her lifetime that will I be able to depart in a good way? No deed gives guarantee to a mu'min, no deed at all. That in no way is he satisfied. Rather, after doing every amal, after doing every action, he's got the fear. Have I done the right thing? Have I practiced correctly? Maut is a big reality. Death is a big reality. We have to understand this. That the person, he cannot even imagine that he will leave this world in a good way. What will be his condition at that time? That what kalama will come out of my tongue at that time? What will I utter? And those people who are departed, those who have left, in which way have they gone? What has happened to May Allah Ta'ala forgive them? That what was their condition? Why? Because they have one thing to measure at that time of death. Is that a person who has to look at how did I live my life? What was I used to doing? What was I regularly doing? A person who carried out actions during his life regularly, then those actions will overwhelm him at the time of death. Those actions will come out of the ground or whatever they will come from, and they will come into his mind or his tongue or from his body. So instead of reciting the shahada at the time of death, that person will be uttering those statements that he was used to doing during the world. Small little things, so-called. We have disrespected somebody, we have put somebody down, we have ridiculed somebody. At that time, then iman will go at the time of death. That every second we need to live our lives carefully, cautiously, every moment, every second, our statements, our words, our actions, our physical actions. Hazrat Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullah alayh, a very famous personality in the history of Islam, may Allah Ta'ala elevate his rank and status, and he completed Kitab Sirat al-Nabiyya. Hazrat Allama Shibli Nomani rahmatullahi was his teacher. He completed that Kitab, and he was a great student, alhamdulillah. And he completed this Kitab of his teacher. And Allah Ta'ala, in his final days, in his last days, before he passed away, Allah Ta'ala also gave him the great fortune that he became a student, a murid of Hazrat Hakimul Ummat rahmatullahi alayhi. And he had a link with him, and he did tazkiyah and tafsiyah through the company of Hazrat Hakimul Ummat rahmatullahi alayhi. So he had a maktab, he had an institution, a Darul Uloom and Madrasa, and he was also the principal of the Madrasa. And as it happens that sometimes on a board it's written, you know, in the Darul Uloom, something in the board. So somebody wrote a statement on the board. And it was a student, he was a very good student, maybe he was good, he had knowledge, etc. And he saw something on a board, and the student said that, Mulana's got mad. What's he said here? So in other words, he wrote something, Hazrat, and the student, he disrespected the teacher through what the teacher had said or written. We don't realize nowadays we disrespect people so easily. What's he doing? What's he not doing? Oh, why has he said this or done this? This is easy for us nowadays. So easy. Adab. Manners is a very, very important factor of Islam. Comportment. Allah Ta'ala does not like a person who has no adab, who has no manners and respect and regard. So, as soon as he said, oh, my teacher, he's done something wrong. He just said something quickly without thinking from his mind. Astaghfirullah. And he said, imagine if a person says something against his sheikh or teacher. How sad, a bad statement. Even if someone says, what's he doing? Even if someone says like this about his sheikh or to the friend of Allah. Or if you carry out an action without his ijazah. Small things maybe for us to think about. But where does it go and culminate? Not that this you'll get a punishment or you'll go to Jahannam or hellfire. No, the punishment comes to Iman, and the Quran tells us this. Allah Ta'ala says, لا ترفعوا أصواتك صوت النبي. Allah Ta'ala says that don't speak in a high volume in front of my Nabi. And what is the punishment Allah Ta'ala was giving? Not Jahannam, not hellfire, but Iman. Allah Ta'ala says that you will lose Iman. And great Sahabi, who Allah Ta'ala was addressing in this verse of the Quran with regards to respect for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this subject of adab, is this a small subject, a small point, a small factor? To be respectful, to have adab and good manners, behavior is important. As soon as he uttered these bad words, the student, he became mad. He was saying, he may be unconsciously, unknowingly, though, has he gone mad? Or is he in his senses about his teacher? But he went mad himself. Allah Ta'ala didn't like that, despite he had so much knowledge, but he became mad himself. Allah Ta'ala gave him the punishment, and he became crazy and mad, mentally ill, that he had to be tied up with ropes and chains in his own home because he had gone mad. And there was no cure for him. No cure for him. In this same condition, he was in his home shrieking, screaming, crying. He became mad, crazy. So this is adab. The places of adab, they are very valuable and precious. Remember this, my friends. Darajat, that the people who have adab, remember, the biggest ibadah is adab, good manners and behavior and respect. The person who has good manners will have a good destiny. The person who has bad manners will have a bad destiny. The person who has manners, respect, alhamdulillah, then he will be able to travel through all of the maqamats and the challenges and the tests and the trials. And the person who is disrespectful will not be able to move for one inch. That's why our mashayikh ikram, mashayikh, our awliyallah, before they give bayah to the student, they tell the student that there are some conditions, and adab is a very important one. Learn adab. And all the mashayikh ikram, Qadri silsila, Chishti silsila, our Naqshbandi silsila, etc., all of the mashayikh, the teachers who give the lessons to their students, they have written adab imurid, this manners of the student. Has Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah has written, has Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullah, all of the great sheikhs and awliya, historically, they have written the principles of adab. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani rahmatullahi, and especially in Naqshbandi Sisla, of which he is the great sheikh, he has written the principles that the person who has adab has a good destiny. The person who has disrespect, he will keep on running around into dark and dead end alleyways during his life. And this is the sign that a person who is disrespectful, it's not necessary that a person does good deeds all his life, good deeds all his life, but where a person does a bad action, even if it's a so-called minor that we call, where does it affect? The person's death. It takes his iman away from him, and he leaves this world without iman. The iman doesn't go with that person. So adab is a very important factor. As a Shah Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh, he was giving a lesson of Bukhari Sharif. In that time, those madrasas in centuries ago weren't like big tall buildings and nice structures with carpets, comfortable carpets, or air conditioning units in the madrasas in the schools now. MashaAllah, we have this. But these were the olden times, weren't they? They used to have weak structures, and people used to sit down. There was no electricity. They'd sit on the floor. And Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz rahmatullah is giving the lesson on Sahih Bukhari. Imagine the students and the teacher. What a great teacher and ma'rifah that must have been distributed. Bukhari dars. So suddenly a hot wind blew, and it was like a hot storm. And obviously when the strong gust of wind comes in with heat, it was a Bukhari kitab at that time, and they were like, you know, big kitabs with big pages, long pages, and the pages were fluttering with the wind, with the gust. And you'll have seen this, maybe experienced this, that when a hot gust blows, I was there, I stayed in the village area in the wilderness, and we see that, you know, the pages, when the hot gust of wind comes, you can't read the kitab at that time because it's difficult to control the pages. So people will do somebody puts his hand on the book or an object or another book on top of that book that's blowing away. So that poor student, that poor soul, what disrespectful action did he do that he put his foot on top of the kitab, his foot, to stop the pages fluttering? Bidri, disrespect. And obviously he graduated one day, but when he graduated, he didn't become an alim, he became a rejecter, mulhid, you understand? A person who loses iman and goes against iman. And just like an alim does tabligh, propagation of deen, to bring people towards iman. So he used to do tabligh to bring people towards kufr, to bring people towards losing iman, leaving iman. So he did bi'adabi, in his time as a student, and all of this resulted in his loss afterwards. So my friends, the result, every footstep in our life, our words, our statements, we need to understand that adab during our life. Don't say that, oh, this is insignificant. We should have fikr that, is this action or statement going to affect my death and akhirah? Because all of these moments during our life and our deeds and our actions and statements, they will relate to the hereafter when we pass away. All of the amal negative will give us loss in the hereafter, but the good things will give us gain in the hereafter. So a person who does bad during the life, disrespect, bad behavior, bad conduct, bad manners, these will affect a person at death and after that. So the Prophet ﷺ said that good death and a death with iman will occur for those people who did good during their life, and their last deed will show that have they had a good death. The last deed. So what deed can we do that takes us towards success when we pass away, when we die? We need to make a lot of effort on this. That, O Prophet of Allah, what teachings do we get? Allah's Nabi himself stated that the best deed that will give us the success at the time of death and the hereafter, such a deed that your death should be such, and Rasulullah told his Sahabi, his companions, you should have such a death that you are leaving this world and on your tongue you are doing the dhikr of Allah. On your tongue you are doing the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. So for every ummati, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a lesson. How many ummatis are, how many people in the ummah are preparing for this? How many people are doing this, doing the dhikr of Allah now during their life, so that at the time of death we are uttering he or she the name of Allah? That's why Allah Ta'ala says dhikran kathira. Remember me in abundance. We are in dire need, desperate need, that whatever we say during the day should be Allah's name regularly. We should be repeating Allah's name, remembering Allah, the shahada, the kalima, Allah's mention, Allah's glorification, praises. The person who does a good deed, a good action, then obviously at the time of death, good deeds or good words and statements will come out. A person does bad during his life, then the ending will be bad. And if we mix, contaminate good and bad in our life, remember this as well. For example, a normal life, a person that we do dhikr and we have fikr of what? Of dunya or sin or bad things. Nowadays we call this, oh, I need dunya and I need akhra and I need dunya. I need deen and I need dunya. This is a term very regularly used. Though I need deen and I need dunya. I don't know what sort of madhab or deen is this, that deen and dunya. I need religion and I need dunya and material. The deen is in both places. Deen, a good deen of a person's good deen will make his dunya nice as well. If you have good deen, a good way of life, then you will decorate your life nicely in this world and thereafter. But if you don't have deen, a good way of life, because deen equals the complete way of life, then how can you make dunya? Because without deen, the complete way of life, then how can you have dunya? How can you live in this world successfully? Then there's no dunya. So this also we need to remember, that when a person is making effort, doing dhikr, and we're just talking about dhikr here, aren't we? We're not saying that a person does dhikr and then sins at the same time, commits sins. That dhikr, at that time the kalama will come out of the tongue, the mouth of a person when he's passing away. That person during his life in the dunya, all his life he did dhikr and prepared in such a way that there was no impurity in his life. No impurity. There were no specks of impurity or dirt in his life. Yes, that there's no bad effects in his life. Alhamdulillah. Every man prepares, you are preparing, I'm preparing. Alhamdulillah, we are trying, Allah Ta'ala accept and our efforts and our trying. But one very important factor, that when a person's passing away, that's the moment of truth. And there we will not be able to be like Jekyll and Hyde. Yes, that all of the efforts of a person's life become a waste if he did not do the right thing. So to succeed in the moment of truth at the time of maut, the best preparation for the good death, for a nice ending to life, and the important preparation is that a person remembers Allah regularly during his life. Remembers Allah. And we should make the dhikr of Allah so, you could say, it should overwhelm, it should become an important, the most important factor of our life, on our minds, on our tongues, that while we're walking or talking, for example, a person says, oh, I'm going to the airport, or I'm going to buy my ticket. The dhikr of Allah should overcome our life, that even while I'm speaking to someone else, I should be speaking about Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. It should come out in my statements, in my actions. Automatically the words of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. How are you today? I'm fine. Where do you live? And what do you do nowadays? What's your occupation? We speak that these things. I haven't seen you for a long time. Tell me, how are you? And how many children do you have? And what business are you running? What are you doing? Alhamdulillah, I'm fine. Bas, alhamdulillah. And if I can do some more dhikr, then I'll be more successful. Then everything becomes easy when I do dhikr of Allah. So he says these statements automatically. In other words, unknowingly, unconsciously, these words are coming out to his mind. Just like he says, oh, I'm going on holiday soon, buying the ticket. That's when we can understand that dhikr is positively affecting us. Positively affecting us. When a person has nisbah with dhikr, oh, my hazrat is this, and I sat with hazrat and I enjoyed it, alhamdulillah. So suddenly the whole silsila turns and she says, oh, you're doing this, yes, I'm following this line. And I've seen that, alhamdulillah, that a person, if dhikr overwhelms him, then he brings many people towards dhikr himself. Yes, if a person is used to doing dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah, then he brings many other people towards dhikr himself. He says, oh, where's your sheikh? He says, yes, I'll tell you. You know, he's taught me this good things. I've heard good things from him. Oh, can you take me and introduce me? Yeah, yeah. So they're talking about dunya or other things, and they conclude on good points. That person who's regular in doing dhikr, then he brings many other people towards dhikr himself. He makes them a dhakir himself. Because a good person, good qualities rub off onto another person. The light breeds light. It distributes light. Light distributes and disseminates light. So when a person's good, does good actions, dhikr of Allah, then he will affect, influence others to do dhikr. So when a person's passing away, then the goodness will overwhelm him. So whatever he did good during his life or her life, that will affect him positively at the time of death. So this is what we need to understand. So for every mu'min, this is applicable, what we're discussing. So all good deeds, alhamdulillah, if you do them with a good niyyah, to have a good death, to have reward at the time of death. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the best death is that Allah's name should be uttered from the mouth. The best amal at the time of death is that kalama should be stated or mentioned or uttered from the mouth at the time of death. So my brothers, alhamdulillah, me and you, we are trying to do this. We are regularly remembering Allah. If we go to pray salah, have one niyyah. One niyyah, while am I praying your salah? I'm preparing for a good death. That salah will become different. Subhanallah. Where are you going? Your wife asks, oh, I'm just going to prepare for maut, so I can have a good maut when it does eventually come. You're going to prepare for maut? Yes, because I'm going to pray salah, and this is a good preparation for the end of my life. On every footstep, Allah will give me a reward. So whenever you think of a good deed, you're opening the Quran, you should say straight away, Allah, I'm reading your Quran, not for this reason that I want to get knowledge and learn tafsir or give commentary or learn the masala masail. No, I'm making the Quran a witness for me that when I pass away and die, the Quran will intercede for me, and I'm preparing for my good death. That's why I'm doing good deeds. Then see, your style and your approach to the Quran will change. Will change. And so remember 2-3 things for this. For a good death, for a good ending to life, these points are coming to my mind, so I am sharing them with you. One thing is that revise this strongly, remember this strongly, without which we cannot have a good ending to the life, that when Allah Ta'ala gives the tawfiq to somebody to do a good deed, then be regular and steadfast in doing that action. Do you understand? Be steadfast, regular and consistent. That's it. That's it. Grab hold of the good action with your hands, that this action I'm not going to lose. For example, you have a £50 note in your hand, you see it blowing around in the street, oh, and you go and run and grab that £50 note, crisp £50, I'm not going to let it go from my fist, I'm going to put it into my pocket somehow. So when Allah Ta'ala gives the tawfiq to someone to do a good deed, Allah Ta'ala gives the tawfiq to do dhikr, and this is a very big tawfiq that Allah Ta'ala gives, a very big ni'mah, then alongside this, a person shouldn't be playing. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ, Allah Ta'ala says, that istiqamah, when a person, he is regular in the dunya, Allah Ta'ala says, then where will you get the reward? Remember, every good deed, when do you get the reward for it? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when do we get the reward? At the time of maut. So Allah Ta'ala says that the reward and repayment for istiqamah, the Quran tells us, when will we get it? ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. When will we get the reward for being steadfast? Those who steadfastly pursue the right way, upon them do angels often descend. And especially at the time of death, for example, I'm sitting here, and a person, for example, he thinks, The people of the world, they think my eyes have closed, but the dunya is there open. For example, you sat in front of me. At the time of death, there will be people in front of me. And there'll be angels with a nice appearance with the libas and the dress of the Jannah. They will come in a nice appearance with the fragrance of hereafter. At the moment, you're sat in front of me. MashaAllah, you are nice and beautiful looking and smell good. But when the angels come in a nice way, if I pass away in a good way, then I'll be lucky and fortunate, won't I? I will have succeeded at the moment of truth. So to see this scene, look, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning in the Quran in a beautiful way, and it's easy for us to understand this today if we really want to understand that a person's maut can become very enjoyable. And I'm afraid of this today, and I say at the time of death, oh, I was scared of death, but I'd rather have 1,000 times this experience. I was stuck in the world, in the prison. Subhanallah. So for this, the biggest amal, the best preparation to have a good ending at the moment of truth, say it loudly, is what? Istiqamah, the regularity, steadfastness. ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة. Allah says the effect of good deed being steadfast. Allah says, if I give you the ability to do good deed, grab hold of it and say, ah, Allah, I've got the currency for a good death. That, oh, this man I've met, oh, mashallah, he's told me good things. He's influenced me to recite Allah's name, and now I cannot leave him or the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. So then you embrace that good action. That even doesn't matter what happens, but the first action that I have to do in the day that my shaykh has told me, I need to do the action, and after that I will do the other actions in life. What do we call this? Istiqamat, being regular, steadfast. Steadfastly pursuing. Has Ali Karimallahu Wajh, radiallahu anhu, he was also given a wazifa, a lesson by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the son-in-law, cousin, and he was sat with his wife, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, radiallahu anha, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a wazifa, a lesson to both of them. And he was the sheikh, the teacher. And he gave talqeen. He told them, like a sheikh, he says to a student. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them talqeen. Subhanallah, but we've taken this away from our lives now, isn't it? We've taken away dhikr and important, this tasbih Fatimi. The gift that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave. So Allah Ta'ala gave us the connection. This lesson was for them. But Allah Ta'ala said, you, O Usa Ummah, you can do this action, this dhikr. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu took this lesson. He's the door to knowledge. Babul ilam, he had great knowledge. Did he ever need to do wazifa and dhikr and recite kalamats? And was he not going to have a good death? Did he lack deeds to give him a good death? But he said, for the rest of my life, that my shaykh gave me that wazifa, that dhikr that I had to do. That the most hardest time that came to me, maybe I think it was the expedition of Hunain or some other time. He said, at that time, it was a night, a severe night, a hard night for me. He said, but even that day, Ali did not leave the lesson, the dhikr that his sheikh has prescribed to him. And he had adab, and he had respect, regard for what his teacher taught him. This is istiqamah. He became habitual. Now, for example, I'm going to go dhikr on Thursday nights. Become regular in this, steadfast. What can stop me or you? Nothing. And we should do such an action that, alhamdulillah, that we think, oh, it's a minor, it's not important, but we should do it regularly if it's a good deed. Why? Because this will give me success at the time of death. If I'm not regular in this and I pass away, then I'll lose out. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. Allah says that تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. The angels will come to you, they'll prepare for you. They'll say, oh, we were waiting for you. And when the maut comes, they will introduce you at the time of Barzakh in the grave. And all your relatives will come, oh, how are you? What was this person? My son, what was he doing in the world? My daughter, how is she? What was she doing? Are they all okay? Fine. So the people who passed away, they have conversation, they meet in the barzakh after death, before the day of judgment. For somebody whose mother, he's lost his mother, and Elijah, or his father, he's lost his father, or the children. For example, I haven't seen my mother. I was 2 years old, or 1.5 years old. My mother passed away. So when the mother will come to see me, then how much enjoyment will be felt? Or our mothers will meet us, how much enjoyment we all will feel? Oh, Ammi's come, mother's come. Will I not feel good if I see my mother? Tell me. Subhanallah. And if at that time, this is just a bit of a sketch, this is just a gap. After a person passes away, before the day of judgment, and the mothers there will be happy. Oh, my son, he has come as a wali. I'm speaking about to you, that you, when you go, then your mother will be happy, isn't it? My son, he's come as a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah. He's come, he's had a good ending to life. And there, I will probably be scolded by my mother. She'll say, oh, you are useless in the world, and you've come useless here now. At least you should have done something good for Allah's sake. But for you, good brothers, pious people, you'll have good comments from your parents. They'll see you, they'll be happy. So this is a very, very big favor from Allah that He's given us the treasure. A treasure that we recite, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is a treasure from paradise that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. A treasure from paradise. This is a small road. We throw this away, say, no, not today. Oh, leave it. What's the point of practice today? What's the point of getting reward from Allah today? I won't get it today. No, no, no. My wife will be upset. Wife is saying, no, you've got to do this. So just leave this. Otherwise, you'll remember, oh, in the weekend, you can't do this. You're too busy. You can't go this day to the dhikr. No, just keep it. This be at home. Or just put this be away. Or you don't give time to the children or for me. Or you don't care, etc. That this dunya will pass away very quickly. And this will not take us away from the reality of the moment of truth. Oh, I've got a shop, I've got to go there, I've got to get up in the morning, I have to run to my shop all day long, I can't remember Allah, I don't have time. Allah has given you a wazifa. Allah has given us the opportunity to remember Him. Who has sent me and you to our sheikhs, our teacher? Who introduced us to His name? Allah Ta'ala said to the Sahaba, I will send you. Subhanallah. And Allah Ta'ala says about the, for example, the people who go to the sheikh, Allah Ta'ala says, I will send. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu idha ja'aka al-mu'minati mu'minatu yubay yinka ala. Allah Ta'ala says that I will send the believing women, subhanallah, and that they will learn from the teacher so they can be regular in remembering Allah, so that they get istiqamat and they can pass away as good people. So what's the first thing here? Istiqamat, steadfast. A person who can come, who is brave and has got conviction. Allah Ta'ala says that even if you do dhikr 5 times in the day, then consider it's for me. I have to go 5 times to the majlis. Not that always for someone else, always in another masjid. We should say, oh Allah, this mercy of yours is for me, that you've put this sweet for me, and I should stay at home. And we say, if there's 5 majlis in a day, go 5 times a day. If there's 6 majlis, go 6 times. There can be no greater ni'mah than this for me if I pass away now. And if I do this with istiqamah, with dhikr, no, 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 sometime I'm going to the majlis, sometimes I'm leaving the majlis. If I feel like it, I'll go. My friends, in the akhirah, this wrong action and wrong intention will not help us. Even at the time of death, it won't help us. That we discard the opportunities Allah is giving. We say, oh, it's not for me. Oh, it's not. That if you come, I'm not happy. And if you don't come, I'm not sad. Tell me, I have no happiness. There's 2 people or 3 or 5 or 1,000 or 1,500 or 3,000. This doesn't make any difference to me. That you'll see, I will carry on speaking and conducting and hosting the dhikr, even if it's a large majlis or a small majlis. Isn't this the case? If the alim sitting, not sitting, or sufi sitting, everyone, my style is the same. Why? Because who am I doing this for? Why? My sheikh gave me a duty, and I am carrying out that duty. Even if a fly comes and sits in me, and the fly, hey, I'll do dhikr. If the mouse comes, I'll do dhikr. Whoever from the creation of Allah will come, I'll teach him dhikr of Allah. That's it. If you come, then I'll do dhikr with you. So if you think that I am capable, that I should sit with this person and do dhikr, I'm benefiting them, why don't you come? Why? I ask you a question. If you consider that I should sit with this person and I'll benefit, then if you don't think that's your choice, that I can't control this, if you think, no, this is a waste of time, I'm not benefiting from this person, then don't come. You shouldn't come. But if you think there's benefit in dhikr and I'm learning from this, then you should be regular and steadfast. 10 times of this dhikr a day, then come 10 times. This is easy, isn't it? So such, for example, I've never heard until today that there's a sheikh and there's so many majalis that are being conducted. Astaghfirullah. Until the, who is this? That this is the fadl of my sheikh, that I've got the tawfiq with your barakah, with your blessings, that we should consider this as a mercy, or do we think this is a punishment? Or there are too many majlis and gatherings of dhikr, I don't have time. That we consider that Allah Ta'ala, when He allows us to practice, that this is a burden and a punishment. This is the karam of Allah. Allah Ta'ala opens the doors, keeps on opening the doors once, twice. Oh, dhikr, mashallah, mashallah. Notification, okay, good, we'll go today as well, fine, no problem. Eid, on the day of Eid as well, oh, that's very good, mashallah. One brother said to me, he met me, he said, you go a bit too far. Even on Eid, you don't give people time off from dhikr. So I said, no, there's no holiday from dhikr, is there? You'll be on holiday when you'll go into paradise. Even in paradise, there'll be dhikr of Allah. Even there, the jamaat will be sat, and there'll be dhikr, and the notification will be sent there. My jamaat will be there, because mashallah, you'll be on the high levels of paradise. And I said, please come down to the low levels, to my khanka. Say, subhanallah, subhanallah. So this is a habit. We should make this a habit. Alhamdulillah, we can't get rid of the habits. So this is the habit that we should develop. That, oh, is dhikr of Allah? Okay, let me go there. Oh, it's happening there. Okay, let's go. Today, where? Blackburn? Okay, let's go there. Oh, today, dhikr is happening in Glasgow. Let's go there. In London? Okay, let's go to London. And you are there, mashallah. You do come, mashallah. You do make effort. So become solid and strong in this. This is the first thing, that to prepare for the good death, this is a very big treasure, the dhikr of Allah. In the name of Allah, I'm not going to leave this, we should say. The amount of times we say the name of Allah, it is not enough. The more we mention the name of Allah, it is not enough. If we say hundreds of thousands of times, then it's not enough. Remember this point. Remember this point. So this is a very solid habit we should develop. And secondly, that just like we have istiqamat, then there should be steadfastness and regularity in another action, which is to leave the sins. That the sins we have left, then we should be regular and steadfast. That I'm not going to go back to these sins. I'm not. End of story. I've left this sin. I cannot do this action. I cannot repeat this action. Why are you doing this? Istiqamat. Why are you doing it for this reason? For the good ending to the life. For the sin, nafs, and desires are forcing us to do sin, and it's breaking my steadfastness. I should say, this is shaitan, and he's trying to spoil my good ending to my life. No, I'm not going to do this action. I need steadfastness, regularity. So we should have steadfastness on good deeds and on leaving the sins, so that we should succeed. So we should be steadfast on doing good deeds and even the sins. Otherwise, if we contaminate that I'm doing dhikr and I'm doing sins in parallel, I need deen and dunya, then I'll say clearly that we will not get anything at the time of death or the hereafter, that this dhikr will not benefit, it will not give us the positive result in the hereafter. So let's do dua to Allah that this is a very important lesson for the good end to the life. Husni khutma. And another point that the Prophet ﷺ taught us, which is dua. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابُ. Oh, sustain Allah, let not our hearts swerve from the truth after you've guided us. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. And bestow upon us the gift of your grace. And then after this, recite the next kalima. The Allah, Allahumma, مُصَرِّفُ الْقُلُوبِ صَرِّفْ قُلُوبَنَا عَلَىٰ أَطَاعِتَكَ. In hadith is stated, after this dua, if we recite this, then we will attain the good end to the life. Husni khatima. This is the dua. That Allah turn off the hearts, direct our hearts to your obedience. So make this a regular feature in your life. Regular. So those people who recite this dua, they bring this into their life regularly. So we should do dua. Remember Allah and the amal that Allah has given us the tawfiq to do. We should be regular in this and we should be grateful to Allah and do shukr to Allah. May Allah give me and all of you the tawfiq and ameen. And we should have fikr for all of this. Ameen.